Hello and welcome to All Remote Podcast.
My name is Ilana.
And my name is Anya.
And we are your hosts.
All Remote Podcast aims to give space for all remote advocates to share ideas and insights into the future of work.
We believe the future of work should create equal opportunities for everyone, regardless of their location, gender, or any other category.
Enjoy. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of All Remote Podcast. Today, we have a wonderful person. We have Magda Savershenko from Remote How. Remote How is a platform powered by and for the community of leaders and of distributed teams, and Magda is head of communications. Magda, welcome.
Hi.
How are you doing today?
I'm all good. Warm greetings from Tenerife. This is where I got to spend my lockdown, and this is where I am now.
Nice, nice. How is it out there?
Well, it's going good. We are now slowly moving to reality. We're getting back to reality, so we're allowed to go for walks and enjoy beautiful surroundings here a little bit more.
That's good. That's good. You're quite spread at Remote How. So yeah, you're truly a remote company and a remote team. That's great to hear. Yeah. So Remote How is a company that advocates remote work. All you do is for a remote community. So let me just kick off with asking you, what does it mean to be a remote advocate for you?
Well, I think it boils down to two things. First of all, we run a lot of initiatives to enlighten the market, to help people understand what is remote work, how you implement it successfully, how you build and scale remote teams. So we have a lot of initiatives for those who are just starting and they don't know how to implement it in their workplaces. So that is a big part of our advocating, educating the market. And then a second part is working with those who are already working remotely and help them improving so that we can see more and more good cases of teams and companies thriving in such a work style. So for us, it's educating the ones who are just starting and also helping to grow and improve those who are already working remotely.
All right, so it's all around remote advocacy for you.
Yes, yes, we are in the domain of education as well. So we run different programs for remote professionals, teaching them either how to manage themselves, how to manage their time, how to work with their schedule. We have programs for managers of distributed teams. We have programs for HR professionals. So we help by delivering know-how and education.
Yeah, sounds good. So there are many resources and articles and workshops. I know you're doing many of them, and you mentioned some of them about remote work. So when you type remote work resources, Google will explode, right? So many things out there. How do you choose where to start from if you're new to remote work? Like, what are the essentials to pick up right from the get-go?
Yeah, especially now, right? It seems like everyone's talking about remote work.
Exactly. It's number one search query, right?
Yes, it seems like it. So yeah, I get it. It's very easy to get lost and trying to find, you know, really credible sources where you know you can really trust whatever the source is saying or recommending. So my personal favorite resource of all inspirations and news in remote work are blogs of companies who have been distributed for a long time now. There are many brands out there. If you Google like brands or companies working remotely, you'll find many of them. But my personal favorite would be like Buffer, Zapier, Envision, Doist. So these companies post a lot about how they work, how their teams work, what experiments they have done in the past and what has worked for them and what hasn't. So that's first great source of knowledge is just checking how these companies are doing it. And the good thing is that, well, their products are somewhere else. So this is pure knowledge sharing and they do it just to help others. So a very, very great resource of knowledge. Then also looking for experts or professionals who are in a similar industry or space as you, but they are working remotely. So for example, if you are a product manager, you might look for a few experts on remote product management or organizing remote sprints and things like that. So you get, again, firsthand tips and knowledge from practitioners. You can also obviously go to companies who are working in the domain of education and remote work, just like ours. We provide different programs. And now, especially in the context of COVID, we have unlocked a lot of our content for free. So you can check it out and assess whether it's something you feel will improve your work. A spoiler alert, it will. But yeah, like you can just check for yourself and see whether that's something you would like to further develop and learn more about. So yeah, those would be my three great sources of knowledge and inspiration and tested practices around remote work.
Yeah, so it seems it's not just the theory, it's also practice and learning from others as well. I mean, we've all been there. We are both part of remote teams, so we had our fair share of ups and downs trying to figure it out, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So one thing that seems to be quite challenging, and let's dive a bit into that, is remote team management. So people who have not worked remotely probably think that it's one of the hardest things to manage. Like, how can you manage a team if you cannot see it? How can you make sure that the communication is there, that everyone is doing what they're supposed to be doing, tracking, etc.? And before, while we were discussing about talking points, you mentioned that you're responsible for facilitating the distributed management program within Remote How. By the way, we will link it below so you can check it out for yourself. And please do. It's wonderful. I took one of your courses just to see how it goes, and it's great. So talking about remote management, what are some of the most important factors to take into account when you are a remote manager?
Well, there are a lot. And as you mentioned, the Certified and Distributed Management Program, it lasts for 6 weeks. So I'll try to tell you a little bit about that in a nutshell. But essentially, when you're thinking about managing remote teams, you have to realize how it is different from managing an office team. Because in an office environment, there is a lot of work happening in between an actual work. So you have all these ad hoc conversations with your colleagues, you would discuss something or just solve quickly some issue walking together for a coffee. And so there are a lot of touch points you have with your colleagues where you can quickly move and push that work forward. That is not always the case while working remotely. You might be working in different time zones. You might be working in even if you're working in similar time zones, you might be working in different times of the day and you don't see these people. You don't know whether they are available at the moment for you or not. So once you realize that, it's easier to shift to remote work and don't try to copy paste all the practices and ad hoc touch points you've had in an office and try to just replace them in a remote environment. So first thing that is very crucial for managing remote teams is a communication. We often say that no one ever complained for having too many information. So in case someone ever will complain about it, they were just opt out of some information that you will be delivering them. But first important rule about managing remote team is to over-communicate, to communicate with the context. So for example, if I want to approach my colleague and ask him or her about something, I would provide a context. Hey, I'm asking you about this data because I have to provide the report that has to be ready in 2 weeks. And so I'm reaching to you now to ask about this particular chunk of information. Without this whole context, which for some people at first might seem like just a waste of time typing additional sentences into your message. But without this context, me just asking, hey, provide me this data, especially if I'm in a position of a manager of that person, this person might be like, have I done something wrong? Why is she asking me about this data? Am I in trouble? Are we shifting our priorities? You know, and so, you know, the whole miscommunication starts from there. So first thing that you should really take into consideration if you're managing a team is how you communicate with them, whether you provide a context, whether all the communication goes public by default and things like that. Second thing, it comes with lesser visibility, is managing with trust and making sure you hold people accountable. It's impossible to take all the tasks and all the problems on you as a manager, but I know some people will still try. So making sure that your team understands the roles, the responsibilities, and when they can take decisions independently is a key here. And managing with a trust, looking at an outcomes, not a number of hours spent or very small activities that you can track, is a key here. So that would be, I would say, my second very strong advice or tip here. And then third thing is about relationships. I think you have to be very intentional about making them within a remote team. It's something we take for granted in office environment because, like, again, we have so many possible touch points and occasions where we can talk about different things. We have different triggers coming from external environments, so we shift our conversations there. In remote environment, it's not so obvious that these conversations and situations to get others better will happen. So you have to create them. And without knowing your team, without knowing your team members, understanding their motivations, their fears, who are they as human beings, you won't be able to manage them effectively. So really spend some time aside and think how you can really get to know them better. That would be a third thing you should not forget while managing team remotely.
Thanks for sharing that. That's a very extensive answer. I love it. But it seems through your explanation and through all three things you mentioned, there is this underlying factor of human connection and understanding and trusting. So I think one of the things that you should really take into account is investing time in building a strong team culture, especially when you're working remotely. It's, when you're in a physical space, it's kind of happens by itself. It's more organic. But if you're just sitting alone in front of your laptop, you don't have that connection, or it's not that obvious. So what are the main challenges and how can you overcome that? How can you build a strong team culture when you're just remotely or distant from your team members?
Well, I think we kind of already mentioned the challenges. Lack of physical interactions is the biggest one. But you also have to realize that the things that build team culture are not necessarily, you know, ping pong tables or happy hours or drinking beers. Yes, they are. They can be a part of your team culture, but the foundation of building any team culture or company-wide culture is the way you work. So how you work, how we communicate as a team or as an organization, how does our structure in a team or in a company look like, and things like that. So really paying attention to this and shifting your mindset from just building the facade around team culture is very important here. And I don't think there is an easy answer on how you can build that strong team culture, because it really depends where are you at the moment. But paying attention, maybe going back to fundamentals like the roles, how we communicate as a team, how do we spend our time together, how our meetings look like, how we take decisions. You know, analyzing these key fundamentals of how we work, I think this is a great starting point. And if you are new to remote work and you have to shift it to this work style due to COVID-19, I think you might have already noticed that the problems you've had earlier as a team are just exploding now because the environment, you don't have this noisy environment of an office that sometimes, you know, just mutes all the challenges we're facing. And we can just carry on. So just going back to the fundamentals of how you work and thinking maybe where you can improve on, I think that's a great, great place to start with building and maybe improving your team culture if you're working remotely.
Yeah, for sure. So earlier in the conversation, you mentioned when we talked about resources that you should also learn from companies who are already doing it. So let me flip this question and ask you, how does remote culture look like at Remote Hell? Like, what are some of the things that you do? How do you pick up on those essentials that you just mentioned? Like, how does it look like? Take us through your week or month or even day, however you like.
Sure. Okay. So I think we're very open, we're very collaborative, and we over communicate for sure. That is how we work. I usually start my day with daily check-in, and then by the end of the day I do a checkout. So we are committing, all of us, doesn't matter the role inside a company, we communicate publicly what are we committing to in a particular day. And then we, by the end of it, we assess what has happened and what hasn't and why. So I think that brings a great transparency to what are we working on and how is it going. We have weekly priorities. So those are like the big things we're committing to for the whole week. And they are very helpful, first of all, to understand like how company will move within a week time, but also it's a great way to manage the big priorities with some things that need your immediate response and that are happening without you planning them. So having in mind what is the focus of the week, you can welcome some unexpected tasks on a daily basis as well. So more or less, this is how we structure our work. We to communicate with each other and to foster these relationships. We are always starting our calls with some chit chats. So we just share things that are important for them, for us. We just basically talk about everything and nothing. And we use a lot of emojis and GIFs and memes to communicate throughout the day, which I think is very cool. And just it's like the thing we have as a company, and we're trying to bring it outside as well because we're using a lot of emojis in our external communication. So things like that, we are very open to anyone suggesting anything at any point of time. We have different channels where you can pop up with your ideas, or it's very common that we are asking for feedback from the whole team. So I would say, yeah, this kind of things defines us as a team and the way we work.
How many are you, by the way? You're not that big of a team, right?
No, at the moment we are 10 plus some contractors and externals that are working with us, but many of them are also in our workspace. So they use Asana with us, or they would use Twist, which is our communication tool.
Yeah. So how do you include those that are not part of the core team? Like, do you consider them to be the same part of the team, or do you do some other things with them? How do you integrate them into the team?
So we would use same communication channels as we use inside the team, so that I don't have to shift to email just to, you know, push the design work, for example. But that being said, these external contractors, they are not obliged to participate in our team meetings or in our general discussion. Obviously, if we would feel like they can contribute to a particular discussion, let's say we are talking about redesigning a landing page and we have a designer and a copywriter, then we would obviously invite them to be part of this conversation in an early stage of it. So this is how we try to include the people we're working with inside the company and just making them understand and be a part of how we're working.
Yeah, sounds good. Sounds good. All right. So future of work seems to be remote. Well, now more than ever, it's going to remote. And I know Remote How is always pushing the future of work into this remote space, and you're doing your best to advocate this and to share insights and educate people on the benefits and overcoming challenges, providing knowledge, etc. So at this point now, what do you think the future of work will look like? Do you still think it'll be remote?
Yeah, I'm quite certain it will be remote work. Obviously, COVID-19, I mean, just forgetting about COVID for a second. Remote work was there. Remote work was there before, and it was growing even without a pandemic in the background. So we have to acknowledge that, and it has grown exponentially in the past years because the technology enabled that, right? COVID-19, I think it forced a lot of people to question the way they were working before, and also made some companies demystify remote work. Many of my friends, for example, they have been told earlier, no, remote work is not possible in our case because of XYZ. And now it turns out it is possible. So when the situation calms down and we would be able to go back to offices, I think many of these companies would have to, you know, face their employees and kind of explain themselves. So I think remote work will definitely grow. I've run across a few studies saying that, over 40%, there was one study published recently by IBM. They surveyed 25,000 Americans about the possible impacts of COVID-19 and how they are feeling about it. And so 40% of respondents indicated that they feel strongly about their employers providing more flexible options in the future. And I think what's even more important, 54 of them stated that they would like to primarily work remotely. So I don't think this data can be ignored. And so I'm very positive about remote work staying for longer. It's just a question how we will adopt it globally. I expect a big explosion of hybrid teams.
Yeah.
So having a mix of remote workers and office workers. And that is also a big challenge for everyone that will find themselves in such setup, because hybrid teams are mm-hmm. one of the most difficult to be managed, because you have to manage remotely by default. And for the people who are in the office, it's kind of hard thing to get used to it. So I'm really looking forward to it. For sure, remote work will stay with us for a long time. So yeah, we'll see how that goes, and we'll see how working world will look like in upcoming months. But I'm pretty positive remote work will be in the picture.
Yeah, for sure. We'll just be there to witness the shape of it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what is Remote How currently doing to support the future work? You have the red carpet, so tell us all about the things that you're doing right now and maybe some future projects that will support this.
For sure. So as I was mentioning, we are continuously running educational programs for individual remote workers, for managers of distributed teams and HR professionals. All of them are interactive, can learn at your own pace and meet with our community throughout webinars, fireside chats, or community calls. So I really, really encourage all of you to check them out. We have, each program has a free essential version, which we like to call a crash course, where you can just take a look at some of the most important things for each of the groups I've just mentioned. So you can take a look at these as well. And then I think one of the most exciting projects that we are working at the moment is a study on remote managers. So we have surveyed over 600 remote managers who have been doing this for some time now to learn more about their pains, about their challenges and joys in managing distributed teams, and to ask them a few questions about the future of work, or whether they see themselves managing remote teams in the future, using the tools they're using now in the future, and, you know, things like that. So this will be published in the upcoming weeks, and I hope it will bring some good conversations around remote work and how we can better address the current challenges that arise from it. So yes, I think this is everything we're working now at the moment.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot. And I'm really excited about the survey. I had a look, and I think a lot of great insights will emerge from that for sure. All right. So if people want to connect with you or Remote How, how can they do that?
Well, the easiest thing is to just Google us, remote-how.com. This is our main website, and from there you can learn more about our programs or about our extra projects, download some of our cool free ebooks. If you want to find me, you can also look me up on LinkedIn, or just write me an email in case you have any comments or questions, magda@remote-how.com.
That's okay. We're remote. We speak many languages.
So it's funny how our brain works. Apparently there was some thought I had in Polish, and that's why I use Polish. But yeah, anyways, you can find me via that email as well.
All right. We will also write it below. So if people don't speak Polish, they will see the dot and then they will know. All right. Well, that's it for this episode. I'm so happy you were a part of it. Thank you so much for being here, and we'll stay in touch.
Thanks for inviting. Have a great day ahead.
And that's a wrap for this episode of All Remote Podcast. Subscribe to your favorite listening platform to never miss another episode. Or even better, share it with a friend who would enjoy it. See you soon. Bye.